I am just overjoyed to be here and to speak with you today, those of you that are here in person, as well as those watching on Facebook. And my wife, as we sat there, said to me, "It feels so good to be in the service." And it truly does. It really is. This past year for all of us has been a time of trying and a time of testing and all of those other things, and to be able to have the freedom that we have to come into this house and lift up holy hands and praise an awesome God is an incredible privilege. So we thank our Lord God for that. Let's just pray. God, our Father, we are eternally grateful, Lord God, for all that you have done. Father, what you're doing at this very moment. And Lord God, grateful for what you will do. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to come together to look into your word, God. And Lord God, my prayer today is that these, your people, will hear from you, Father, and not from Rob Marshall, but Father, hear your voice, and that this word falls on fertile soil, Lord God, and that lives are changed and transformed, and a desire to be like Jesus, Father God, is deepened within each and every one of us as we go forth from this point. So thank you, Father, for all these things, and I just ask that you would bless this house continually, God. Continue to move them in the direction that you would have them to go, and that they are doing what is pleasing in thy sight. In the mighty and matchless and powerful name of Jesus, who is our Christ, we do pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I first of all want to thank God for allowing me this opportunity, but I thank also Pastor David and Pastor Angela, who have entrusted me to speak to your flock. I thank you for that. It is truly amazing. Last Saturday, when I got the call from Pastor David, my wife and I were out shopping, and he told me the story of your cousin, Pastor Angela, and it was without hesitation that, although I was traveling for some relaxation, that I come to be able to speak to the people of God. I count it a privilege and not a right. And so anytime I have the opportunity to do that, my answer is always yes to you. Amen? Amen. And our condolences again to your family. And I think as I thought about this, I said, you know, sometimes we speak to young people and we say that, and young people will think that they've got all of this time to get it together. Right? I'm not ready to come to the Lord right now because they want to do all of these things. Well, one thing is certain, and we see it in the life of your young cousin, that old age is not promised. We see many, many young people dying every day. So it is incumbent upon those of us that know the Lord to speak life into those young people and plant the seed. Because God does the growing. Make no mistake about it. Because you don't see it doesn't mean that God isn't at work. Our responsibility is to plant that seed. Amen? So I again, thank you for having me here. To my father and my mother there, you guys know I love you to death. Thank you so much for the support. My beautiful wife, Ava, and I'm going to say it. Last time I was here, my father was 85, and so that was a couple years ago. Today I'm here, and it's my wife's birthday today. Yeah. And never mind, I'll let her. If you want to know how old she is, you can go ask her, and she can tell you if she wants, but I'm not going to make that mistake in doing that. Although, I tell you, she's an awesome woman, and I whatever the number is, it doesn't really matter. God has been good to me. So this morning, I want to speak to you from the book of, if you would please, turn with me to the book of Mark. The Gospel of John, Mark, and we're going to look at, for just a brief period of time, a few verses from chapter 1. I want to look at chapter 1, and we're going to start in the 40th verse, if you will. Chapter 1, verse 40, and when you have that, please say amen. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. And the Bible reads, "A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. 'If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean,' he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. 'I am willing,' he said. 'Be healed.' Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. 'Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This is a public testimony that you have been cleansed.' But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened." As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places. But people from everywhere kept coming to him. Amen. I want to speak for a short period of time, and I'm going to make a mistake because I'm going to say I'm not going to be before you long. But you know, when preachers say that, that means you're here for a while, right? So hang in there. It's only six short verses. But this is the thought. Action speaks louder than words. Action speaks louder than words. You know, and when I read this, one of the things that I'm amazed that in the Bible, when you talk about Jesus, is a lot of times what Jesus does speaks louder than the words that he utters. Amen? When you look at this, the stories, then we're in the Gospel of Mark, and Mark is one of the three synoptic Gospels, right? You got Matthew, Mark, and Luke as the synoptic gospel, same story told by three different people. Synoptic simply means from the same view. But Mark is telling this particular story of a man with leprosy. Now, I'm going to talk about leprosy for a second, but one of the things that I want you to understand about leprosy and not move too fast by it is that leprosy is illustrative of a disease that is in all of us. There's this disease called sin. We don't talk about that too much. And when we read this story, we see a man with leprosy, but in our minds, a lot of times as Bible readers, we read this from a Christocentric perspective, and we miss what God is doing with the people in the narrative. Amen? But we have a man with leprosy. Now follow me here. Now what leprosy is, leprosy was, at that time, it was incurable. Today it's a little bit different, but it was incurable. And what leprosy does is leprosy starts and it works on your nerves and the mucous membranes of the body. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to go too deep, but this is what leprosy does. It kills the nerves in a particular area of the body. And what it does is it starts from the inside so that when leprosy begins to become full blown, you see a difference in the coloration of the skin. Amen. So now you know that man has leprosy because of what you see on the outside. See, but what you see on the outside started on the inside. So it's killing those nerves. And then what it does is it kills them to the degree that they become dead and you can actually break off limbs because you don't feel pain. You become dull to pain. In that particular area, there is pain, but you can't feel it because there's no nerves. I said it's similar to sin, didn't I? See, so sometimes what we see on the outside of somebody is not what the real problem is. See, the real problem when we look at somebody and we look at ourselves and the sin nature that we have is the result of a heart that has been dulled. Amen. Come on. Somebody hears what I'm saying. You have to examine yourself and realize where this thing starts. See, and if you don't get to it, as soon as it's recognizable, it's going to spread. And before you know it, you're ending up in a place somewhere and saying, how did I get here? And it's called drifting. See, because here's something about the enemy. The enemy knows what you like. They know how you like it. They know the color that you want, the size that you want. He knows all of that. But what he's going to do is give you a little bit at a time. He's going to just do all that nerve in your hand a little bit. And you say, oh, my hand is hurting. And all of a sudden, you have no feeling in your hand. But before you know it, it's taking over your body. Sin does the same thing. You know that you've made a mistake. And rather than repent, as you should, and ask God to forgive you, because the Bible tells us he's faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John 1:9. And that he will restore us and forgive us. But sometimes we move too fast past that initial ache, that initial pain that caused us to be where we are. And then it becomes full blown. And when sin is full blown, we know that the wages of sin are death. Okay, so you have to recognize this thing. So when we read this in Mark, as I said, 6 short verses, and Mark, in his uniqueness in the way that he writes the gospel, different than the other writers of the synoptics, is that Mark has this ability as a writer to give you this real vivid image, imagery that he uses in all of his writings. So Mark, he doesn't start where the other writers start. Mark starts right at the beginning telling you he identifies who Jesus is. He's the Messiah. He says that in the very first verse of this particular chapter. Because his purpose in writing was to make sure that those Romans, those in that particular area, because you have to put yourself in the place of the original readers, right? So that they understood that Jesus was the Messiah. So Mark was continuing down his path, and he's given us these short, hard-hitting stories of vivid imagery of what Jesus is doing. Amen. Matthew had a different perspective in his writing. Matthew was writing to Jewish Christians. So when you read the book of Matthew, what you see is more Old Testament references than any other book, right? Matthew's got, if I counted the number right, there's 53 references to Old Testament scripture in Matthew. 53. There's only 76 in the other books. So Matthew, because of his audience, is speaking. And as preachers and as pastors, we have to read this word and say, okay, God, what is it that you're saying to us? How does this work within the context of my environment? And so today, I want to say to you that Jesus's actions speak louder than words. I want you to take 3 things out of this. Think about this as I transverse through these verses. I want you to think about the leper. All right, we'll talk about the leper as we go through, but I want you to think about the leper. I want you to think about Jesus. And then I want you to think about the deeper meaning of all of what we're talking about. Amen. So the leper. What about the leper? Well, the leper. The Bible says in verse 40, a man with leprosy came and knelt down in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Man, if you skip too fast past that, you'll miss the lesson here. This leper, who had this incurable disease, in parentheses I'd put sin, had no problem coming to the only person that he knew that could heal him. Amen? And not only did he just come, see, because with leprosy, you had to you were ostracized and put off somewhere. And when people came into your vicinity, you had the responsibility of doing either one, two, or both things. And that is ringing a bell to let them know, or as saying, unclean, unclean. And so this leper is doing something, violating, if you will, the law in Leviticus. So Leviticus 13, 14, you can go back and read that when you get time. But this leper came to Jesus. Man, those of us with sin. This leper came to Jesus. He didn't seek help in the world outside of Jesus. He went to the only man, the only person that would be able to free him. Sometimes we need to come to a reckoning that no matter what we're going through, the season we're in, that Jesus is the answer. There's no other answer. We ask God to do all kinds of things. And then what do? We turn to our own ways to try to reconcile what it is. And, you know, even financial blessings, we ask God for financial blessings. Then we get up off of our knees and we go down to the 7-Eleven or the Wawa, wherever you go around here, and you play the number. Do you trust him? The man with leprosy came and knelt. This man was desperate. Are you desperate? We sang, praise is what I do. Is that what we do? All the time. When nobody's looking, what are you doing? When you're not in church, are you praising him? Or are you coming in here just to get a little snack and go back out in the world and do the things that you want to do? This man knelt. Look at his position. He had leprosy. He came. He violated the law. But he knelt in front of Jesus. And he didn't just ask. He was begging. Some translations you would read, it says, he was beseeching, which simply means he was begging. And he says, if you are willing, not if you can. He didn't doubt the power that Jesus had to heal him. He said, if you are willing. Why is that important? See, because God is not obligated to do anything outside of his purpose. He said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Clean. There's something about being clean. I didn't say that he was going to cover it up. He's going to make him clean. He's going to get rid of. And then the Bible says, look at Jesus. He says, moved with compassion. I've been saying this word to my wife over the last couple of days. She probably kept saying, why does he keep saying compassion? But because, listen, it moved with compassion. Jesus didn't look at this man and say, man, I see your problem. I'm going to ask God the Father. He is God, by the way. You do know he is the second person of the Trinity. But he didn't say, we're going to pray for you. Let us pray. The Bible says that moved with compassion. And again, I know there are some translations that are going to say that he was indignant. And that's important. Some translations will say he was angry, right? But why would Jesus be indignant? Wow. You know why? Because like us, sometimes we only go to the gifter for the gift. We're looking at what he can do for us as opposed to how we're supposed to worship him. So, yeah, Jesus was probably indignant. It's just like when he showed up and Lazarus was dead, and the Bible says Jesus wept. And there's some debate about why he wept. Oh, look how much he loved. Look how much he loved Lazarus. He really misses him. I would argue and say, no. He's weeping because you don't understand who he is. So this Bible says, moved with compassion. Compassion requires an action. And ladies and gentlemen, the world in which we live in today, in 2021, coming through a pandemic, hopefully on the back end of a pandemic. We don't know, because now there's some more freedoms happening, and we'll see what happens, and we'll ask God to just have his way. But there is a need for us as the body of Christ to show compassion. There are people who don't know Jesus like we do. There are people saying all kinds of things. There's all kinds of injustices. But we, as the body of Christ, have to show compassion. There are people in need. You heard about the ladies from Pakistan in the pocketbooks. Great, wonderful story. But there are people in this neighborhood that we have to show compassion. They just need a word. You know, because I think about this and I say, now, how selfish would it be of me, knowing the route to heaven and to arrive there all by myself? All of these people who don't know Jesus. See, because I think that there, when you look at the judgment scenes in the Bible, there's not a whole lot about what you did. It's a lot about what you didn't do. So I believe when we're standing before God, that there's going to be this question of, why didn't you speak to Joe when Joe was sitting on the sidewalk outside the store needing something to eat? You walked by him and said, I'll pray for you, but you didn't go in and buy him a sandwich. See, we're going to be judged on not only what we did, but what we don't do. And this Bible says that, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. Significant, because Jesus knew the law of Moses. You were not to be touching these people, these unclean people. But the passion and the love that Jesus had allowed him to reach out and to touch him. And when you plant a seed in the life of somebody who is in need, God will provide. It's not your responsibility to, quote unquote, save them. Only God can forgive sin. Your responsibility and my responsibility is to show compassion and to talk to people and to show them the way and allow God to work on that heart. Amen. So Jesus says, I am willing. And that needs to be our response. And the Bible says that he said, be healed. And then it says, instantly he was healed. There was no process he had to go through, no three-month cleansing and all that. The Bible says instantly. The moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, at that moment, you are endowed with the Holy Spirit that is able to carry you, to teach you, and to lead you instantly. See, because I don't know about you, but there was a point in time when I thought I was big and bad enough to do anything I wanted to do, but I had to come and I had an encounter with Jesus. And when you see him face to face, when you have a personal encounter with God, you can't remain the same. And so what's going on here is, instantly, this leper had an encounter and he was instantly healed. You know, I think about that, and I think about that commercial bath fitters, right? They come into your house and they put the stuff over your old stuff, and but the old stuff is still behind that new shiny stuff, right? So the mold that was there is still there. It's just hidden by something. See, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus didn't cover up his leprosy. The Bible, he was cleansed. He was healed instantly. It was gone. That's what God will do. And then it says, Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priests and let them examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. Somebody might say, well, why would Jesus, having done this, tell this guy, don't tell anybody? Why? I mean, think about that. You know, when we do something halfway right, we want to put it on Facebook, We want to put it as part of our bio. As I'm listening to Pastor David say this stuff today, I'm thinking, that's embarrassing, right? Because I haven't done anything, right? But that's what we want to do. We want to write it down, put it on Facebook. It goes on our resume. It goes in all of this stuff because we did something. And Jesus told him to go and don't tell anybody. See, because back to the point, Jesus wanted them to hear the message. Jesus needed them to get the gospel. See, because just like us, they're going after Jesus because of what he could do. Trying to use him as sort of I've been thinking about this for the last 10 minutes, the analogy, but an ATM machine. We want to go to Jesus and tap him for whatever we want, whenever we want. But the issue with a lot of us, in order to take something out, you got to put something in. And if we're not constantly replenishing and through the word of God and through prayer and through fellowship with the community of believers, when hard times come, we ain't gonna have nothing to pull on. And we'll find ourselves going to him for the gift. So Jesus said, don't go running around telling everybody I've got more work to do. That's not what the Bible says. That's Rob Marshall talking, thinking, trying, okay? But the man went and told everybody. And I said, I can't condemn this man, because when God does something good for you, you do want to tell somebody. When he lifts you out of poverty, or he heals your body, he brings you through a tragedy, you want to tell somebody. However, with the leper, he said, don't say anything, because he had more people that he needed to speak to. And then what he told him to do was to go back to the priest. And to go back to the priest, see, because even when we're doing something for God, we need to be aware of God's precepts. In other words, Jesus knew the scriptures. Jesus understood the law of Moses. And by Jesus telling this leper to go back to the priest, again, Leviticus 13:14, go, you take some time and read that. That's what you had to do. You had to go back and you had to go through this process to prove that you were actually cleansed. So that's why Jesus wanted him to make sure that he was being obedient to the precepts of God. But this guy, like us, was disobedient and ran out and told everybody. Now, sometimes God will heal us. We'll go out and say all these things that have been done, and we end up hindering the movement of the word of God. We get in the way of God's message because we're not obedient. We need to be thankful. We need to thank God, and then we need to ask him, Lord, what is it that you desire of me? In good times and bad, God has a purpose, and we need to find out from him what it is that he wants us to do in our particular situations. But this leper, he didn't do that, and he hindered the word, because the Bible goes on to say that as a result, it said Jesus had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. You couldn't stop them from coming, but they were coming. You have to ask yourself, what were they coming for? Were they coming to be healed, or were they coming for the gospel message? That's where we have to be careful. So when I told you three things, the leper, yeah, you can learn from the leper. The leper was in a hopeless situation. He was desperate, but he recognized his desperation, and he came to Jesus, the only person that can help him. That's us. That's what he did. And then Jesus moved with compassion. That word. Action. That's what we have to do, ladies and gentlemen. We have to show that. We have to have that in this day and age that we're living. People are hurting. And then a deeper meaning of it all is that, listen, Deuteronomy 6 tells us, you know, we have to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength. We have to, but Jesus took it a step further and said, love your neighbor as yourself. The deeper meaning, we have to love God
and we have to love people. You cannot proclaim to love God and not love people. That's the Jesus Creed. That's what he's telling us. So in this very short six-verse pericope here that the Bible has given us, this thing is full of Jesus. And if we want to know, if you ever get confused, well, I don't know where God wants me to be. I don't know what he's calling me to do. All you got to do is do what Jesus did. He's the plumb line. That's who we are to be following. Not any pastor, not any TV evangelist, none of that. It's Jesus. That's our guide. That's our, he is the light. We are called to be a reflection of the true light. Amen? Because he will do it. God will use you in ways that you never thought that he would if you allow him to. Allow God to use you. Ask him what he wants you to do. We're all created for a purpose to worship him, but God has a plan for every one of your lives. Just ask him to show you. Amen? I thank you so much for listening, and I pray that God will do what only he can do.
Amen. Let's give some encouragement to our precious brother. Thank you so much, sir. We love you. Love you. Wow. You know, over the years, we've learned, those of us who have studied the Bible for a long time, it's not how complicated you can make the truth of God sound. It's how transferable you can make, and I think Pastor Robbie knows exactly what I mean by this. If you can feed the people in a way that's palatable to them, in the word, to break it down like the bread of life. And Jesus didn't say he was some fancy souffle or something or other. He said, I'm the bread. Bread is basic. Because he really wants to feed everyone. And he took these profound truths and made it such that everyone in this room could say, I heard the word of God today. My soul was fed. I know mine was. Mine was. God fed me from this word. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together. Brother Joe, do you know that chorus, Brother Joe Torres? Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. If there's one thing that I would like to focus on in closing the service, would you bow your heads with me for a moment? And please just listen. I know it's so easy to become distracted. But let's give attention to the Holy Spirit, whose purpose it is to make the things of Jesus a reality inside of us. The Holy Spirit takes from that which belongs to Christ and makes it known unto us. I want you to leave today with something from the Holy Spirit of God. And if there's a challenge you can take home with you today, it's this. If there is a rule or a principle to pay attention to, it's to be true to your original calling. Be true to your first love. Some of you, like myself, were brought up in the church, brought up in the faith. But that's not a guarantee that you won't stray away. You have to renew your faith. You have to keep falling in love with Jesus. You have to keep paying attention to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know what key that's in, honey? Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won by your power every hour. Keep me true, true. Amen. Amen. Pastor Angela, maybe you could just, if you don't mind, Brother Joe, let her play for a second. Here's the thing, folks. I don't want us to miss this point. I don't want us to miss this point. We didn't have people in the audience today who have never heard a message. Brother Lanre said there were no guests here today, but every one of us has been in church. So I'm talking to Christians this morning. Amen? We're talking to believers. But that is no less of a challenge as if somebody walked in who never heard, was hearing for the first time. The danger is that it becomes old hat. The danger is, oh, I heard that before. Been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. And read, get another one, she said. Get another T-shirt. And Jesus spoke to a church in Ephesus that did many great works. But he said, I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. You don't, that, and he could say that to a church that is bragging about, and yet still find the thing that they weren't doing. The sin of omission, as our brother said. So that's what we're trying to say this morning. We want Jesus to keep us true. Amen. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There's a race that I must run. There are victories. There are victories to be won by your power. By your power, every hour, keep me true. Sing it again, everyone. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. Would you make that your prayer this morning? Jesus, keep me true. Let it come from your heart. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. By your power, by your power, every hour, keep me true. Brother Joe, the Lord had you up here for a reason. He just put on my heart, you need to pray for us this morning. Come on up here, brother. This is a man who's been walking with God for many years.
Yeah.
Not that old. But he knows this message. He knows this message, what it means to be true. I want you to pray a blessing over this congregation.
Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, we are humbled by your presence. We recognize that you are here to meet every need. Not just some, but you have met all of us through your word. We thank you, God, for your presence. We just pray that it would go with us. For there are more needs, oh Lord. There's so many challenges that befall us. And God, how we need you today. How we need you today. But not only us, we need to reflect you in a world that needs you. We need to show you to a world that is hurting, a world that is in great need, oh Lord. So Jesus, let us mirror you, Lord. Let us be a mirror of your presence. Of your might and your power and your willingness to reach out and touch a world in need. And God, I pray for healing among us. Healing among us, O Lord. Healing among us in our hearts and our bodies and soul. And I pray that you would go with us in a mighty way. Thank you for the word that was so clear to us. Thank you for the word that spoke directly to our hearts, O Lord. And reminded us, O Lord, of your compassion. And reminded us of how we can't keep quiet about such a great news of the gospel of Christ. Go with us, we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. By your power, every hour, keep me true. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Put your hand on your heart. Keep me true, Lord. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. Oh, sing it all week long. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There's a race that I must run. There are some victories to be won. There are victories to only by his power, by your power, every hour, keep me true. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Stay true to Jesus. God bless you.